You are listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you will be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au. It is so good to be here with you this morning. Please grab a seat. Please grab a seat. Thank you, worship team. You guys are always a blessing to us. Just love it. Reminds me of the good old days when I used to play music, believe it or not. In fact, there was a time where I was a worship pastor. Ah, you didn't know that, right? Worship pastor, kids pastor, pastor of hospitality, pastor of the welcome team, pastor of the front door, pastor of the cooking ministry. There was a time where we had more people on stage than off stage. There was a time where I would open the front door and lead worship and greet people and then preach the word of God and then go to the kitchen and cook. And you heard the testimony from Tiffany. She loved it when we were still eating. I don't know whether she still loves it today. Maybe because I'm not cooking anymore. But I remember some 6 years ago, I thought, wow, wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be fun to plant a church? Wouldn't that be fun? And after a couple of weeks, a few months, I realized it's not fun. It was hard work. Hard work in trying to improve in my leadership. Hard work in trying to love people. Hard work in studying the Word of God to preach it faithfully. Hard work in praying to God so that God would change the situation. And I am so thankful to God for what God has been doing here over the last 6 years. It's only by the grace of God that we are here today. I was sharing to some of the leaders this morning at our pre-service briefing, and I was saying, I was on the phone speaking to two of my friends who are church planters. And they're struggling. They've been going for 3 to 4 years. They are struggling. People are leaving. It looks like they may have to close down their local church within 6 months. And all I could do was just listen and cry with them over the phone, because I look at Sun Life Church and God has been so faithful. It's got nothing to do with me. I know how weak I am as a leader, how lacking I am as your pastor. But yet when I look around, I see so many of you, you're still here. I know it's not because of me. I know because God has been so faithful to you, that God has worked in your heart, that you would still trust me as your pastor and you would still be on this journey with me. And my prayer always to God is, God, thank you so much that you are faithful to your people here, that you're still working in their hearts and they're still trusting in this little church called Sun Life, and they're believing that you're going to do something wonderful here. And I'm praying really hard that God will work in our hearts, that we would think outside the four walls of this church here, that God would use this church to really influence and impact the city of Perth. And I'm so thankful that you're still here. I remember in the early days, I would work from the library, because I said to my wife, honey, I refuse to work from home as a church pastor because I know how weak I am. I would fall into the temptation of going straight to the couch, to the fridge, maybe to bed, sleep. I said to my wife, Tran, I'm going to work from a local library or the cafe. And I remember in the morning I would go there, and my sons, even to this day, sometimes when we drive past the local library, they're like, that's where Dad used to work. Like, they think I'm a librarian or something, right? Right? Or the cafe, that's where Dad works. I'm a barista, right? And I worked by myself, alone. But by the grace of God today, God has been so faithful. We have wonderful staff that are working in the office block here during the week. God has been so gracious that some of you, you're on staff and you don't want any monetary returns. You're doing this purely by the love of God, and you're volunteering. And I am thankful that God would do that in your heart. We have these wonderful elders in our church, people who I look up to, people who, when I have nowhere to run, I go to them, and they are wonderful, godly people. They're praying to God for our church. They speak into my life. They keep me accountable. We never had elders in the first few years of Sun Life Church. They're a wonderful executive leadership team. Man, we have got some of the greatest thinkers in our church. When it comes to finances, when it comes to figures, Bali, that's not me. I steer clear from that. But yet God will give us great people with a big heart for the gospel, with a passion, with numbers. I don't know how, but that is possible. And they're there helping me with the finance, with the legal side of things. And I give praise and thanks to God for placing the executive leadership team here. You know, I give praise for the fact that this year we have zones. We have four zones in our church. We've got this wonderful youth zone, a young adult zone, family zone, senior zone, and they are, you know, they're overseen by these great godly leaders. By the grace of God, God has allowed us to have these wonderful zones in our church. This year, I picked up two interns. Yes, they drive me crazy. Yes, it's hard work loving them and mentoring them, but you know what? I'm so thankful for their energy and enthusiasm and what they've helped me. They've taught me a lot of things. That's God's grace, God's faithfulness in growing our church with structures. And next year, we get to move to 338 Oxford Street. Right in the heart of Leaderville, on Oxford Street, there's going to be a church. And that church is called Sun Life. That's where we will be. And I've said this a lot, that I don't want to worship this building. I don't want us to be all about this building. I want us to be about the God who lives in us and who's going to do miracles through the people who worship in this building. And I can't wait for that. And I look back and I reflect over the last 6 years, God has been so faithful. And that's why this morning service is about the faithfulness of God. Sun Life's sixth birthday, celebrating God's faithfulness. I must say, I like this here. I really love the design here, but I realized this morning, wrong colors. I just realized it this morning. It should be purple. It should be white. Blue and gold. What are they thinking of here? So this morning, I want to unpack with you the faithfulness of God. God is faithful from the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, verses 1 to 7. I'm going to read the word of God and I'm going to pray and we'll get straight to work. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Isaiah 35, verses 1 to 7. The passage is on the screen behind me. Let me read the word of God. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon, they will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling spring in the haunts where jackal once lay. Grass and reed and papyrus will grow. That's the word of God. Let me pray. Father God, I pray now that as we look into your word, that you would use me to speak to your people, and that they will hear your word and not mine, and that you would challenge us, that you would really allow us to conform, to really love you and live for your glory. I thank you for what you're doing here. I pray that you would help in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Typical fashion, there are 3 points to my sermon. You should know that by now. I want to talk about how God is so faithful. Because God is faithful, we shall rejoice. And God is faithful, we will have courage. The Christian lifestyle is a courageous lifestyle. And because God is faithful, we're always favored. based on the text. That's where I'm taking you this morning. God is so faithful that I want us to be a church that is always rejoicing. That your lifestyle is one where people see such joy in you. God is faithful to you and I that we are called to live courageously. We're not called to be weak. We are called to live boldly for the gospel. And because God is faithful, always keep in mind that you are favored by God. The grace of God is always upon those whom God has chosen. That's where we're going this morning. My first point, God is faithful. We rejoice. In verses 1 and 2, let me read that again. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, which is a flower, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon, they will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Friends, biblical faithfulness must always be seen in light of God. All right? It means that God is trustworthy. God is reliable. God is good and not evil. God can be depended upon. God can be counted upon. So when we read Scripture, when we read the Bible, we need to know that this is the Word of God. This is God's Word to us. Therefore, everything we read about God here is true. It is reliable. God is trustworthy. You can depend upon God. God does not say one thing and does something totally different. That's the faithfulness of God. It is God's faithfulness in His character, in His nature, in the promises that we see in the Bible, that God is faithful to His children, you and I. You would notice in this beginning of Isaiah 35, the word rejoice is mentioned many times, three times. Look with it. Be glad, the wilderness will rejoice. There's one. It will rejoice gladly. There's two. It will shout for joy. There it is, three. You know, joy is this internal, overwhelming emotion that happens inside that for some reason it must be expressed on the outside. You cannot contain joy. You cannot hold on to joy. It happens inwardly and has to be expressed outwardly. If something is joyful in here and is not expressed out there, I don't think it's true joy. But real joy takes place in here and is expressed out there. When my wife told me she was pregnant with our first child, and we spent around two years trying to fall pregnant. It was a very tough time for us. It was very challenging, but when she told me that, honey, I'm pregnant, there was this such joy inside of me. I won't forget that day. I picked her up, I kissed her, I hugged her on the streets of Oxford, Leaderville, jumping up and down, singing, so excited that I would be dad. That joy that started inside here is expressed out there. When Rita and I, when we were at the council meeting, and when we convinced and we tried to say to the council and the mayor that this place here, 8 Cleaver Street, can be a church, and when they all said, yes, that's a brilliant idea, yes, we will allow this building to be a church. I have never seen Reed jump that high in my whole life. There is such joy in us because we knew that what was inside here cannot be contained. This is a joy that God wants you and I to live. That we're singing, we're jumping, we're praising, we're giving glory to the one who's made it possible. That's God. There is this wonderful passage in Acts chapter 3 where there was a crippled man. He's sitting by the temple gate. And because he's crippled, he can't walk. He knows that he can't walk, so he can't make a living. So what does he do? He begs. He asks for money. And the apostles, they will walk by. And of course, John Peter will say, well, silver, gold, we have none. But in the name of Jesus Christ, stand, walk. And in Acts 3:8, he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking, jumping, and praising God. That's the joy that God calls you and I to have every day. In the text, what you notice in the text, if you read it carefully, The picture that the prophet is painting is one of doom and gloom. Look carefully. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Words like desert, parched land, wilderness, you don't associate those words with joy. Those words, it's a picture of devastation. It's barrenness, failure. It's because at this point in time, Israel's story was one of failure. Let me tell you what's happened here. Israel's lost its land. The temple in which God would meet them has been destroyed. They've been taken by the Babylonians. They're now under the captivity of a foreign god. It's deja vu. They're going back to the time of Egypt. Remember when they were in Egypt, they were under the oppression of the Egyptian. They cried out to God. God would send Moses to deliver them. Here, it's deja vu. They've lost their land, they've lost their identity, they've lost their temple, and now they're under the oppression of the Babylonians. It's not a good time in the history of Israel. Things are not great. It's a period of failure. But the text would say what? You shall be glad. Rejoicing. Blossom. You see that? Glory. The splendor of God. Command upon command. Telling the people of God, you shall continue to rejoice. Why? Because I have not left you. What God is saying to the people is that even though you feel that I'm not around, I have not left you. Even though you think that the Babylonians have got you, I still have you. I am with you. I have not forsaken you. I have not neglected you. I am still your God. You're still my people. You can still rejoice. I am a covenantal, promise-keeping God. I will never let you go. I am still with you. You shall rejoice. And friends, that is the same God that you and I worship today. Maybe for some of us, we feel that God is not in our lives right now. We feel like, well, God, I don't sense you. I don't feel you. I come to church on Sunday and I sing these songs, but there's nothing inside of here. In fact, there's no joy inside of here at all. I go to these connect group meetings and it's really boring. I don't want to be there. I pray to you during the week and I don't hear from you. I pick up the Bible and I read. I don't sense you speaking to me. God, you're not here. You're not around. Friends, let me say that God has not left you. God is always around. God is always with you. He is always with you. He is faithful to you because the Word of God tells me and tells you that God is always with us. He is trustworthy. He is reliable. He is faithful. And if His Word says that He is with you, He is with you. And because of that, you can still rejoice. You can still say, yes, I'm going to sing praises to you. I mean, look at our church. Over the past 6 years, I know that there's been times where we have been struggling. I know for myself as a leader, there's times where I doubted the power of God. My faith was lacking. I couldn't believe that God would allow this to happen to me or happen to the people in the church. But God was still faithful to me. God was still there. People are still being saved here. People are falling in love with God here. People are growing here. People who have come here not wanting God, but now on leadership. God is so faithful. God hasn't left us. God is right here. God hasn't left you. He hasn't left me. And if He's with me all the time, with you all the time, I shall rejoice. I want to live a lifestyle where people see that there's a God who lives in me. I want to walk down the streets where people look at me and say, you know what, there is something special about that guy there. I want to know more. And I want you, Sun Life Church, to be a community where there's joy at home, joy when you're driving your car, joy when you're at work, joy when you're helping the neighbor, joy when you're taking your children to school, such joy because your God is with you. And here's the people of God, Israel, in a place where it's doom and gloom and devastation. They're in captivity. They've lost their land. They've lost their temple. They've lost everything. But yet God would say, you shall rejoice. You shall rejoice. We still have a lot here. I don't think our situation is as bad as Israel. And it is the same God. And God wants us to rejoice. May your life, Son of Life Church, be a life of such joy. May your joy be a testimony, a witness of God to the people around you. Amen. Second point. God is faithful. We are to be courageous. Look in verses 3 and 4. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. And he will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Can you see that right there, the text there? We are called to live a lifestyle where we are not to be afraid. We are to be strong. There has to be courage in the life of a Christian. We are not to shy away from the fact that we love Jesus. Unashamedly, we say that I love Jesus. We are to pray. If we are to pray in public, we pray in public. We're not afraid to say to people, I love Jesus. We're not afraid to say, well, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is the only way to the Father. No one apart from Jesus. That's courageous living. We're moving into the heart of Leaderville next year. I still can't believe by God's grace that God would allow that to take place. I was at a one-day workshop during the week. And I'm talking to some of my friends, some of my other pastor friends. And I've never told them about this move to 33 Oxford Street. I think I've said this before that, yes, I'm excited we're going there. But it's not my complete joy. Anyhow, some of my pastor friends at their workshop were saying, hey, Ben, I heard that you're moving. Really? I heard that you're going into Leaderville. Oh, really? And I had probably half a dozen pastors whom I didn't share with them that we're moving to Leaderville, asking about the fact that when is the move? We're so happy for you. And it's placed so much pressure on my shoulder because I'm thinking about this. God has allowed us to move into the heart of Leaderville where everyone's going to know about us. People are already knowing about the move. In fact, the senior leadership knows that there are pastors who are calling me saying, hey, Ben, I heard that you're vacating this building here. When you go, can we come in? People know that we're moving. We're moving to this great building, Leaderville. And the pressure on my shoulders is that, well, God, you've given this to us. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to be comfortable and have our couple hundred of Sun Lifers worshipping, have a good, safe kids program, safe youth outreach, just be comfortable and say, yeah, we're a medium-sized church in Perth, things are great. Oh, God is preparing us for something greater. Maybe God is saying, I've placed you here for my glory and not your glory. I've placed you here so that my name will be made known and not Sun Life Church. I've placed you here in the heart of Leaderville so that you would live a courageous lifestyle where people will come to know me through the ministry at Sun Life Church. I know God said that to me. And I'm telling that to you, that we are called to be courageous, Sun Life Church. I want to see us get down and get dirty and love people and welcome people. Someone who's totally different to us. Let's embrace them. Get them into our house. Love them. Show hospitality. Be generous towards them. Point them to Jesus Christ. Call them up. See how they're traveling. I want us to be like that. We need to be courageous. Don't be afraid. Be strong. I was Winter Roller Land. That's a bit of a tongue twister. Outside Forest Chase. I don't know if you were there. It was a pop-up roller skate rink. Just recently, it was great. It was great because it reminded me of the good old days at Morley Rollerdrome back in the 90s. I don't know if you remember that, but in the 90s, yep, Ben's nodding his head there. You know, I mean, it was great because it brought flashback memories of me rollerblading with the disco songs and having a great time. It was great because I had a chance to show off my skills to my wife and my kids. It was great because it was free. You know, anything free is great, right? And I got my sons there. And my boys have never ever put on roller skates. And I could see the fear in their eyes, in their faces. They're afraid. And I said, boys, it's okay. I'm going to be there. I'm going to skate next to you. I'm going to hold you. I'll skate behind you. And obviously they put on the skates and they're slowly making their way from the chair, which is quite comfortable and secure, to the rink. And now they're holding to the side and they're a bit afraid. And I kept telling them, it's okay, I'm here. I'm with you. And after a while, I could see this confidence in them. Why? They knew Dad was around. Little Cameron, little Ollie now trying to skate without Daddy. Now, did they fall? Yes, they fell. Did I catch them? Not all the time. Because I'm not God, right? I'm not God. Did they hurt themselves? Yes, they did. But I saw a shift. Boys who were scared, now courageous. Why? Their dad was there. Every step of the way. You see, in the text, you notice what happens here. Isaiah is saying that your feeble hands may be strengthened. The knees that are about to give way may be steady. You see that? The heart that is fearful may be strong. Can you see that? Be strong, do not fear. Those were the words that God would speak to Moses, to Joshua. If you remember Moses' story, he was the guy who God said, Moses, I want you to go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to release my people. And Moses saying, well, I can't do this. You know, I stutter, or they're going to kill me. And God would say this in Exodus 3:11. As he speaks to Moses, Moses, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. My presence, I am faithful. Where you go, I go. I mean, the last few words of our Lord Jesus Christ before he left, what did he say? Surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Sun Life Church, Jesus is with you, with me, to the end. Where we go, he will be there. His presence is with us. He is faithful. We shall be courageous. We are called to be courageous. We're 6 today, and I pray that when we are 10, 4 more years from now, in Leaderville, that as I look down, I see so many people who've come to know Jesus through the courageous lifestyle of you people here. That you would do whatever it takes to love them, because you and I know that life is too short to get comfortable, too short. And when you are afraid, I want you to turn to the pages of Isaiah 35 and read the Word of God. Be strong. Do not fear. I'm with you. There's a wonderful story of Jimmy Elliot. For those who know Jim Elliot, he was an evangelist from the 1920s. Had this passion to go down to South America to bring the gospel to these Indians. And his friend said to him, you're crazy. They're going to eat you up alive. You're going to die out there. Why are you doing this, Jim? Don't go. Just do ministry work up in North America. Don't go down to South America. You're surely going to die. And this was his reply here. He said that, I already died years ago. I died with Christ. He says, his is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He can't lose his life with Jesus. He can't lose his salvation. He can't lose that. So he's not a fool to give up his life. He died in 1956, killed by the Indians. But through that death, the gospel came to them. And these Indians, tribal Indians, came to know Jesus Christ. It reminds me of Galatians 2:20, where Paul would say this, I have been crucified with Christ. In other words, I've already died with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's courageous. And may we live like that, Sun Life Church. Amen? Here's my third point, my final point. Because God is faithful, we're always favored. There's always God's grace, favor upon you and I. Look in verses 5, 6, and 7. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, The ears of the deaf unstop. Then with a lame leap like a deer. The mute's tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, thirsty ground, bubbling springs, the haunt where jackal once lay, grass and reed and papyrus will grow. Can you see that? Verse 5, what is he saying here? The blind shall see. The deaf hear. Lame leap. Mute shout. Dry land, water. Can you see that? What he's saying here is this is God is a God who loves to restore and transform those whom he loves. God loves to transform and restore us. He takes the bad and he makes it into good. The lame will leap. The mute will shout. The deaf will hear. The blind will see. This is the great thing about our God. And this is the God who took a disobedient prophet who ran away from him, and God would hunt him down by a fish and use him to bring salvation to an entire city. This is the same God that God would use a skinny shepherd boy to destroy a giant, and one day that shepherd boy shall become the king of Israel. This is the same God who took a church persecutor, someone who went around locking up early Christians, and use him to become a great apostle of the Gentiles, and write 2/3 of the New Testament. This is the same God who would save you and I, sinners. We don't deserve God's love. God would save us when we were still rebelling against him, when we didn't want anything to do with God. We hated God, but yet God would still save us. This is the God that we worship, who likes to take the bad, that's you and I, to make it good. That's God's favor, that is God's grace upon people like you and I. We don't deserve this. We do not deserve God's love. I am so convinced, you should be convinced, that your relationship with God is only by the grace of God. Nothing you have done, nothing I have done to deserve it. God did it all for you and I. Amen. It's only God's grace. We don't deserve this. And I need you to keep that in mind. You're so loved by God. You're so precious to God. Worthy in God's sight. Favored by God. And it's so important for us to understand this. When we think of the favor of God, the grace of God, we must never go down the path where, well, because I'm favored by God, I won't experience any difficulties. You know, things will always be good. It doesn't work like that. Oh, because I'm favored by God, I'll never go through trials. Or, even worse, because I'm favored by God, I'll be rich. Because God will always give me good things. I'll be rich. Favored by God means this, that God always has his best interest for you and I. What's that saying? You know, sometimes we ask God, right? And God doesn't give us the things that we want. He gives us the things that we need. Why? Because God has the best interest for you and I. You think of a person that you like in your family, in this church here. You love that person. You would favor that person. And you want the best interest for that person. Is that right? Is that right? Let's just say if I was an under 10 basketball coach and I had my two boys playing on that team, I would probably favor my two boys. Is that right? I'll give them probably more game time. I'll probably allow them to be part of the starting five. I'll probably give them some coaching tips at home and teach them how to shoot the basketball at home. They may not want to be starting five. They may not want to play basketball. They may not want to have 4 hours after homework to learn to shoot like their dad. That's fine, all right? But I want the best for them. I know what is best for them. Yes, you've got to learn to shoot like dad. Yes, you've got to eat well. Yes, you've got to sleep, because I want the best for them. And that's with God. When you're favored by God, it simply means that if you do go down that dark alley, that dark valley where there's no one around, God is still walking with you. When you are praying to God and you realize you can't pray anymore and you don't know how to pray, the Spirit of God intercedes for you. When you know that you've messed up, you've got a great mediator, a high priest who's there for you. You're favored by God. You're always loved by God. We must never ever forget that. And that's the gift of God. That's the grace of God for you and for me. And that's the gospel message that I preach week in and week out. That if you want to experience God's love, if you want to know God, You just need to receive it and trust God. And God will give you that wonderful grace in knowing Him as your Lord and Savior. What does Paul say in Romans 8:28? Those who love God, all things work together for good. Which we know that whatever happens to us in this lifetime, God is totally aware of it. Nothing happens to us without the consent of God. Do you understand that? God's favor is always for you and I. So when time's tough, God is still there. Walk every day knowing that you're favored by God. God always wants the best for you. Like any father wanting the best for their children, God wants the best for you and for me. Sun Life Church, we are now 6. God has been so faithful to us. And my prayer is that every day, as the weeks go by, the months go by, we are reminded of God's faithfulness, that our lifestyle be one of joy. May we rejoice all the time. May we live courageously, this courageous lifestyle. And may we know that we're favored by God, that God is constantly watching over us, loving us, giving us what is the best. God encourage you. God bless you. I look forward to celebrating the many years with you. For those who are new here, if you want to know more about Sun Life Church, see myself or any of the many leaders here, we would love for you to be part of our community. Let me pray. Father God, thank you so much for the last 6 years. Thank you so much. You've been so faithful to this small church. Even when we doubted you, even when we didn't have that faith of a mustard seed, even when we underestimated your power, yet you were still faithful to us, and I am so thankful for that, God. I pray, God, that everyone here would live a life that is full of joy, that people will see you in us, the way we interact with the people here. I pray that we would live a courageous lifestyle where we would do whatever it takes to win people over for you. And I pray, God, that we are reminded there's such grace, such favor on the life of a believer. Thank you. Those are the wonderful gifts you've given to us. We don't want to take them for granted. We honor you. We love you. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.